You're listening to Speak, Lord. I'm Ryan Rogers. Here's a little bit of gospel for you. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you used to walk when you followed the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. This is one of the great gospel presentations in Scripture. It goes on to say that we're saved by grace through faith, not by works, so that no one can boast. Today we're going to highlight two great phrases that help us see the power of the gospel. One is, you were dead, and the other is, but God. And I'm bringing back two recordings I posted on a different platform back in December 2021. This was on the Palmer Seventh-day Adventist Church podcast, and the titles were You Were Dead and But God. I'm going to play both those in here. It's just a reminder of how good the gospel is, how much we have to praise God for, and the good life we have to live into because he has stepped into a situation where we were dead, and he has given us the opportunity by grace to live again. Ephesians 2 begins like this. As for you, you were dead. Those words, you were dead, are a very strange thing to say. Think about it. You can't actually say those words unless someone was dead and is not dead anymore. You were dead. So they're alarming words and they're hopeful words. If you stay dead, you never hear those words. These words clue us into a very hopeless past and an awesome present reality and future hope. Ephesians chapter 2 has been a special one for me for a long time. Years ago, I memorized it, and it's one of those gospel presentations that summarizes the whole story. It begins with the reality of sin and takes us through the transforming work of Christ, and then it launches us out as God's workmanship. I'm going to take 2 weeks to think about the first 10 verses of Ephesians chapter 2. And we have to start right there in verse 1. I'll finish the sentence. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Dead is not a happy word, and it's really scary when we use it about ourselves. And Scripture teaches that death is our reality until we have been made alive by Christ. It's a very harsh realization, and we have to grasp the hopelessness of sin before we appreciate the good news of a Savior. And I'm thankful that Paul says it so bluntly because we actually can convince ourselves we aren't dead. In fact, in verse 2, right after he says, you were dead in transgressions and sins, he says, in which you used to live. That's a weird way to say it. You were dead in the way you used to live. When we try to live in this life without Christ, we're actually trying to live out a miserable paradox of making a living out of being dead. Paul zeroed in on this for the Ephesians. Ephesus was this beautiful pagan city. Paul was doing missionary work there. And we know in Acts 18, he was talking to them about their idols. And he said in verse 26, that man-made gods were no gods at all. Now they had this huge temple to Artemis, their man-made god. And Paul comes along and says, they're not gods at all. And then they freak out because people stopped buying their idols. So Paul's preaching was affecting their economy. There were people literally making a living out of crafting dead gods. We have this ability to convince ourselves that we're spiritually alive when we are not. Like Paul says, we used to live in death. And we can convince ourselves that those things make us come alive, that these idols we make are actually affording a good living. But if there's anything that makes us feel alive that is not Christ, it's not really life. And verse 3 says, all of us lived among them. This depravity includes all of us. Paul describes it as gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts, the things that we thought were bringing us life. Paul doesn't list any grievous sins. You don't have to murder or commit adultery to be dead. You just have to not be alive in Christ. All of us, in our default mode, are dead. In verse 4, it says that we were by nature objects of wrath. That's a dark, hopeless picture. But it is an essential piece of the gospel that we need to recognize. When we see the depravity of sin, then we see the beauty and the necessity of grace. When we prop ourselves up and try to make our dead selves look alive without the life-giving power of God, we're actually robbing God of His glory. We are not acknowledging the saving power that makes dead things come to life. I find a true freedom and joy in recognizing that without Christ, I'm not just bad, I'm dead. For me, this takes any thought of self-righteousness or saving myself completely out of the question. I wasn't just sick, I was dead. I didn't just need help or advice. I needed a savior to bring me back to life. And this would be an entirely depressing reflection if Scripture said the words, you are dead. But it doesn't say that. It says, you were dead. All of us were dead. But in Christ, that is past tense. Well, there you have it, the first half of our gospel presentation. You were dead. That's not the encouraging part, but it's an essential piece to understand. The next part is the really good part, but God. You can take the worst of situations and add two words to them to make them hopeful. But God. And that's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. It says, you were dead. You were like the rest of mankind. You were given over to your passions and desires, but God. And now here's that second episode we're bringing back to finish out our gospel presentation. Right after saying we were by nature objects of wrath, Paul says, but God. Go ahead and take the worst of your sinful nature, the thing you are most ashamed of, that thing you've worried is never going to change. And hold that before God and then hear the words, but God. Yes, those things might be a reality and we need to face them, but God. There's a God who sees that reality and has the power to change it. The verse continues, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. In the book of Ephesians, Paul uses this phrase, in Christ, around 30 times. All the good things happen in Christ. Our resurrected life from the spiritual death of sin is inseparably linked with Christ's life. And he follows this but God statement with three phrases that share a prefix that mean together with Christ. He made us alive with him, he raised us up with him, and he seated us in heavenly places with him. here are three realities that happen together with Christ. They don't happen apart from him, they happen with him. Each of these phrases are said in past tense. He made us alive. He raised us up. He seated us with him. And that's because they are already accomplished. They are spiritual realities in Christ. So if we feel dead, when we come to Christ, we know that we actually have already been made alive. We might feel very low, but we know that the reality of who we are in Christ is we are raised up. And even though we are living on this earth, the text says that we are already seated with him in the heavenly realms. I remember as a kid, we had this thing where when we got up from our seat, we'd say, "Spot back." And that meant, this is my seat. And even though I'm not there for a minute, I get it back. And right now we are away from that seat with Christ in heaven. But he's saving it for us. Just like you might save a seat or reserve a seat for someone you know is coming, Christ has reserved a seat, and the spiritual reality in him is that we are already seated with him in the heavenly places. In the eyes of God, we belong. It's like we're already there because he's already done the work to bring us there. And this is so important because we see these two extremes, dead in sin and alive in Christ. It's like there's no in between, and yet we feel very in between. We feel like there's some good, but I'm still struggling. And when we see the spiritual realities, the past tense accomplished work of Christ, that should communicate to us that we don't need to wait to feel that we have been changed to believe that God has done it. Don't make this a barrier to coming to Christ. Don't wait to feel that these things are true. Believe God. Believe that he has done these things, and these are spiritual realities for us to claim in Christ. Verse 7 says, "So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Jesus Christ." Verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one can boast." Martin Luther said, "When I look at myself, I don't see how I can be saved. When I look at Jesus, I don't see how I could be lost. When I have received Christ and then I doubt my salvation, I'm not doubting myself. I'm doubting the power of God because it's his power that saves me and none of my own doing." Not only does he save us, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." His grace is powerful enough to bring the dead to life, but it's also good enough to change us so that we can walk in good works. There's a whole lot of bad in our lives. There's a whole lot we're ashamed of. There is a past that is dead in trespasses and sins. Now, follow all of that with the words, "But God." How is God speaking to you? "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." Well, thank you so much for listening to Speak, Lord. And as always, you can find all of our episodes by searching for Speak, Lord, wherever you get podcasts. And you can find more from me at PastorRyanRogers.com.